You brought your sword with you this morning. I invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Thus far, the reading of our scripture lesson for this Sunday. Now, on any given Sunday, we always have several people who are here who haven't been here and therefore are not able to follow the order of the messages as we bring them, because quite often we bring a series of messages around a particular theme. We are today going to finish the series we began several weeks ago entitled The Ministry Gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are many gift lists in Scripture. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of Father God. But one of the most essential of his gift lists is the gift list of the ministry of the church that is given by the Holy Spirit and is set forth in Scripture. Each week we've looked at one particular ministry area specifically. I have also shared with you the original Greek statement of that office as it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. We do this because with modern translations, oftentimes words are interchanged, sometimes even thoughts or sentences or ideas are interchanged from the literal meaning of a specific word or phrase. Nowhere is that probably more true that in the gift list of the Holy Spirit for ministry. There are five offices of ministry which the Holy Spirit has identified in Scripture. The first of those is the apostle. We gave 2 weeks to that particular word because it is a very, very complicated, forgotten, and often difficult to understand scripturally. The meaning of that word, apostello, that's the Greek word. The second word that we brought on week 3 is the word prophetes, which is the office of the prophet. And then the third word that we brought is the word euangelio, which is the Greek word for evangelist. And last week, the word that we brought was the word poimen, P-O-I-M-E-I-N, English letters, which is the correct literal biblical meaning of the word pastor. And we saw last week how the office of the pastor has so been modified and changed from the original intentions of Scripture as they are set forth by the Holy Spirit. Now today, the word is teacher, and we want to hasten to say that what is intended here by the Greek word didaskalos. It's a little longer word. I'll spell it with some English letters for you. D-I-D-D-A-S-K-O-L-O-S, didaskalos. And that is the biblical word for teacher. But I also want to hasten to say that it is not a reference to academic teachers in elementary or high school. This is a specific office of ministry that refers to a call upon an individual to be a Christian teacher in the body of Christ, to teach people the Word of God. Now, one of the miraculous facts about this gift and all of the gifts is when these gifts are functioning according to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they function anywhere, anytime, with any people. And so one who is called to be a teacher, a Christian teacher in the body of Christ, can go anywhere in the world and under the influence and anointing of the Holy Spirit, teach faithfully the Word of God. Now, I want to follow this up with another scripture today, and for that, I point you to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. Here, Jesus is teaching in the upper room, and several months ago, we did this entire series on Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit from the upper room. But right today, I just want to highlight one verse from Jesus' teaching, and it is chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "But the Helper." Now, the actual Greek word there is parakletos. I've said this to you numerous times. And one of my concerns is that English versions will translate that word in various ways. Comforter, helper, counselor. The literal meaning of that word, parakletos, is that Father and the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to walk beside us. You know, you think of the word parallel. Parakletos. The Holy Spirit walks parallel to our lives, but he doesn't just walk along quietly. There's a second part to the word, and it's the word kletos. It comes from the verb kaleo, and it means to call out. So what the Bible is teaching us is that Father and the Holy Spirit have Father and the Lord Jesus have sent the Holy Spirit to walk along beside us and to call out to us. And what he calls out is explained in the next few phrases. The Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. A-L-L, all things. And, miraculously, bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now, I think it ought to be clear from this and other scriptures we could add to it that there is only one chief teacher in the body of Christ. One chief teacher. And that is the Holy Spirit. And he is given to teach us all things. And so if someone is proficient in certain areas of learning, even apart from scripture and principles of faith, I believe we could somehow understand from scripture that the Holy Spirit is involved in that transmission of that knowledge and the gift that is being exercised. Also, I believe it is very important that we look at one more scripture. And this is in the book of Deuteronomy. Because particularly today, when I first started to work on these five messages. I hadn't thought about this. But as I look across the landscape of our, particularly our nation today, I believe these words take on very special meaning. This is the book of Deuteronomy. It's pretty old, isn't it? One of the five books of Moses. And chapter 6 of the book of Deuteronomy, with verse 1, declares these truths. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. It appears that there's a connection between the transmission of the truths and precepts of Almighty God and the length of days and time. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, it may be well with you, and you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you see how radically different the teachings of the Bible are with the worldview of contemporary culture? The Lord is interested in multiplication of his people. And then he goes on to say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Now, look at the next instruction. "These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage." It's pretty clear, isn't it? The Lord is instructing through Moses the fathers of Israel to teach these truths to their children. And I believe what the Lord is saying to us today partially is this. It is the intention of the Lord that parents are teachers of their children. And it's so easy to hand off that responsibility to other people. And one of the ways that that has been tested and proven to be very successful is through the movement known as the homeschool movement, where their parents are stepping up in failed school systems to faithfully teach their children that which is essential for a meaningful life. And so what we have here is, first of all, the truth. The Holy Spirit is the chief teacher. The best that any of us will be is an associate teacher of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, parents are specifically challenged by the Lord to teach their children the things of the Lord. And I can tell you, when you interact with children, apart from maybe family members, it is so easy to tell which children have been raised and brought up under the influence of the Word of God and which are just simply in the stronghold of the world systems. And it's a growing concern among many, many, many Christian leaders. Now, I thought it would be helpful if we illustrated for you who are some of the outstanding teachers, Christian teachers. As I said, they move from city to city, from event to event, and many of them that I have included here have written books. They have taught at conferences all over the world, and they have tapes, recorded tapes, or probably CDs today, that are available of their teaching. Now, there are no tapes available for this gentleman, but one of the teachers of Scripture is the person Ezra. When the children came back from captivity after the years of bondage under Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, they were totally adrift from any knowledge of spiritual truths. And so they were assembled into the area of the public square, and every day Ezra taught them the truth and the principles of the Word of God. Must have been a marvelous experience. In the New Testament, there is another individual. We don't have any of his teachings, but there are references to his gift of teaching, and his name is Apollos. Obviously, he was a traveling teacher, interacted with Priscilla and Aquila and Paul and others. But if we come down to more contemporary times, one of the great, great, great Bible teachers of all time is Dr. Richard DeHaan. He's passed on, of course. His ministry has been handed over to Mark DeHaan, and that's the Radio Bible class. They are the authors of our daily devotions that we have here, Our Daily Bread. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry of teaching. Another outstanding Bible teacher is Chuck Swindoll. He's on Christian radio every day. You can hear him locally at 9 o'clock every morning. And I think he's written about 30 some books. He's prolific when it comes to teaching and writing. One of my favorite Bible teachers, and I'm sure she's gone home to be with the Lord now, is Elizabeth Elliot. She was missionary Jim Elliot's wife, who was murdered by the Akua Indians. And she carried on a powerful, in fact, way, way, way expanded ministry beyond what Jim Elliot had. She also is the author of numerous books. And for a long while, she had a radio ministry called Gates of Joy. Gates of Joy. I'm sure there are tapes and CDs available of that. And I always said to people, sometimes a woman would say to me, aren't there any women Bible teachers that you could recommend? And I'd say, oh yes, 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 there's Elizabeth Elliot. But you better prepare yourself. She's no cotton candy teacher. She is one tough character. And she would often, as part of her radio broadcasts, she would read letters that women all over the country had written to her asking her questions. Some of the things she would say to people, I'd just kind of shake my head and say, I think it's a good thing you're on the radio and they're at home. She was tough. I mean, she was really tough. And then her place was taken by another lady, a powerfully anointed teacher, Nancy Lee DeMoss. Nancy Lee DeMoss. And she is really, really good also. And then, of course, there are the five from Florida, the five teachers. I'll just name a couple of them. Bob Mumford, who's one of the most humorous and yet powerful Bible teachers I've ever listened to. Ern Baxter, who's just anointed. And, of course, one of the greatest is Derek Prince. Derek Prince has gone home to be with the Lord, but his books and tapes are available through his ongoing ministry. Now, these are just a few of the individuals that I wanted to bring names before you, because you may recognize some of these individuals. You may not have recognized that they are part of this office of teacher, as it is defined in the New Testament. And there are others that we could list that are equally powerful in teaching Scripture and the Word of God. Now, one of the facts that we've tried to instill in these messages is this. We may not have in this congregation a resident apostle. We may not have in this congregation a resident evangelist. We do have a resident pastor and a ministerial team. But what is available through the gifts of the Holy Spirit is that prophetic utterances can be brought through individuals who are listening and who are crying out to the Lord for his now word for our time. And in our congregation, we have two such people, Carol Gallup and our sister Lucy, both of whom have received powerful messages from the Lord. And we also have the opportunity to use the ministry of apostles, although they aren't really identified in the body of Christ today under that title. But the apostolic ministry is carried out by individuals who serve as kind of fathers to Christian churches. They are counselors. They are individuals of wisdom who are able to move through various congregations and bring the wisdom of Almighty God to bear in situations of need. Also, I think it's important that from the passage in Deuteronomy, I believe we would want to say that Father God is specifically interested in you and me, that we present to him a teachable spirit. You know, it is possible for people today to become puffed up with pride. There's a lot of that. It is of the soul. It is not of the Lord. And oftentimes it comes with barrels and barrels of arrogance and self-importance. That is not what Father God is calling forth for us to receive. A teachable spirit, first of all, is from your spirit. This has nothing really to do with your brain. It is that your spirit is humble. Humble before the Lord. Humble to say to the Lord, Lord, I need the teaching that you bring through Scripture, through the books that are available, through the various ministries that we can lay hold of, and through those whom you have anointed to do this work. And then also, I want to say by way of conclusion to this series of messages, what churchianity has done with this fivefold gift ministry is to virtually either ignore or disenfranchise most of these offices of ministry. They have declared that the last apostle died with the 12th apostle at the time of Jesus. Prophets, we don't need prophets because we have Scripture, therefore the office of prophet is benign. Evangelists, well, kind of, in a way, most churches recognize that Billy Graham was a great evangelist, but he's gone. And there really doesn't seem to be anyone who stepped in to take his place. So what has happened in churchianity? What has happened in churchianity is that congregations have, knowingly or unknowingly, heaped upon the office of pastor all of these other ministry gifts. And I want to very humbly tell you, I've never known a pastor, and start with me, that has all these qualities. The quality of an apostle, an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher. I've often said, I don't really believe that of the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to me, as I shared with you last Sunday morning, the office of the poimen, the shepherd, I don't really believe that's my chief calling in the ministry, the office of pastor. But when I graduated from the seminary, you had two choices. You could either be a pastor of a church or a missionary in a foreign country, and my wife made it very clear she wasn't going to any foreign country and be a missionary's wife. So I became a pastor, and I've worked at it assiduously over the years, but that is not the primary gift that the Lord has given to me. But the Lord is faithful to give pastoral care to people at times when that care is needed. And I can assure you that Friday at 6:30, there was a great, great, great deal of pastoral care that was going on in the Gallup household. And we have to trust the Lord to manifest that gift through whomever it is that he sends. And then there was one more insight that I believed the Lord gave me. It's a, you know, all examples break down at some point. There's no such thing as a perfect example. But the Lord gave me this example of these fivefold ministry gifts as being a team, like a baseball team. On a baseball team, not everybody's a pitcher. Not everybody is a catcher. Not everybody can play first base like Torkelson can. Not everybody can play center field like Riley Green. There are those who seem to be anointed for specific roles on a team, and baseball teams pay millions of dollars to try to get the best person for the position that they possibly can. But this week, the Lord added another little footnote to my sort of impoverished example. And that is, a baseball team has another comparison. Baseball teams have owners, and they have managers, and they have coaches. Now, Judy and I had the privilege of having in our congregation in Cleveland one of the owners of the then Cleveland Indians. And he was one of the most delightful human beings I've ever known. And periodically, he would invite our twins to come down to the stadium and sit up in the press box and see the game. And boy, they just thought they had the world by the tail at that point. But a baseball team has an owner. Also, I met and married Paul Brown's son. Paul Brown was the owner and coach of the Cleveland Browns. And I've said to you a couple times that the first wedding that I ever had was Paul Brown's son's wedding, Michael Brown. By the way, Michael Brown today is now the president and CEO of the Cincinnati Bengals. But at that point, he was just Michael Brown. And all these owners of these NFL teams and these huge football players were at that downtown Columbus church. And I told my wife, I know I lost 5 pounds during that wedding. But professional teams have owners. But they also have managers. They have those who call the shots. Put this one in, take this one out. And they have coaches. So this is what I think the Lord showed me. The owner of the Christian ministry team is Father God. He's the owner. The manager is the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts the people in, takes the people out, puts them in their positions, guides them, leads them, shepherds them. And the coach, that's the Holy Spirit. It is the coach who instructs and teaches and walks beside us as we seek to serve the Lord. So forgive this very humble example. But I think it does put into some discernible context what the Lord is trying to tell us about the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the question for us, are we open to rejoice, receive, and make best use of those gifts that Father God provides? Let us pray. Holy Father, we bow before you. We thank you that you have chosen all these various ministry offices to care for your church, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ is building, not something we're building. Help us to thank you, make use of, and appreciate those ministry gifts that are available to us as you make them available. And thank you for the growth and the strength of faith and the powerful commitment of this congregation to you, Father, to you, Lord Jesus, and to you, Holy Spirit. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And the Lord's people said,
Amen.
Amen.